cliffcentral.com.
Oh, I'm loving Beatenburg right now. The Hanging Gardens of Beatenburg. What a fresh tune, what a fresh tune.
All she needed was some.
All she needed was some.
But you know it's time for the truth.
All she needed was some.
All she needed was some.
It's time for the worst, guys.
All she needed was some.
All she needed was some.
All she needed was some.
The only show that really matters out here.
Wake up.
In a building with Riabis and Cecilia. Doing business as usual.
All she needed was some. Had a Clippers game on the court side. Watch a nigga shoot like a 4-5. They mad at me too, I got more fire. Why these bitches see me? Go home, Rod.
Go home, Rod.
See it's a mirror in my bed. I'm a smart guy. I ain't fucking with you.
Hope you guys are feeling good out there. It's a Wednesday afternoon. It is 2:05. Sun is shining. We're living good, man. We're living good. We're living nice. We're living soft. We're living free. That's right. That's what it is to be a millennial these days. We actually just soft. I don't know if our generation could handle a war.
Hey, do not generalize.
Yeah.
So don't generalize at all.
What do you say? Are you a tough boy? Tough man. We were talking a little bit about if you were to go hunting, if we had to survive in the wild, we'd be able to make a fire. At least we know how to kill a fire. But I don't know about hunting the food.
I told you last night that I'd prefer to, go big or go home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'd hunt like the antelopes and the deer and the springboks.
You think you can take them on?
Yeah, definitely.
With just a knife in the bush.
What do you mean? I don't need no weapons.
Oh, bare hands. You're going to take the deer down bare hands.
Yeah. I saw this clip on YouTube where this guy actually attacks the springbok and goes for its antelopes.
Oh, really?
I mean, what are those things called?
Horns.
Whoa, did I just call out another animal?
Yeah, antelope.
You know, it is a wacky Wednesday after all.
Education failed us.
No, it's just a sinusitis. Feeling a bit wheezy right now.
So he grabbed his horns.
You know, and he pulled it down.
Yeah, the
antlers. And he pulled it down, and then the other homeboys that were around, they helped him. You know, it's quite easy.
You know,
it just takes one brave soul. I'll
you'll be the guy.
I'll volunteer myself.
Yeah. You see, that's what I've been thinking about. What would you be willing to do? I mean, we usually talk a lot about Survivor or Fear Factor. Like, I couldn't do Fear Factor, man. Just because of the disgusting part.
Yeah, but
where you have to chow. Like Survivor I could do. Being hungry. I know how to be hungry. But Fear Factor, man, I can't do that middle challenge, you know. That one where you have to chow the disgusting pig lard or whatever.
Here's my analogy of it all. They'll never give you something that's gonna make you die or make you horribly sick.
Yes, it might
taste disgusting. You might feel horrible for a while, but you won't die.
Yeah, as long as you don't die, it's cool.
I can tell. If they say you must make a poo, chow it, and you'll get 5 million. Hey, my man, point me to the nearest bathroom. That's all I'll say. 5 million rand.
Yeah, you'll do
Come
anything.
On, tell me you wouldn't even drink your own piss for that.
I would drink my own piss for 5 million.
Yes.
Okay, look, there's very little that I wouldn't do.
For five million.
5 million is quite a lot. I think the cash prize they're giving out there on Fear Factor is like 50k.
Even 500,000 rand.
Drink a pee. I can drink a pee. I've tasted worse alcohol in my life. Russian beer probably tastes worse than your pee does.
Yes. Plus, I know I'm a fit beast, so my urine is clean.
Clean, because you're drinking that water.
Water.
Keep hydrated.
You know what I'm
keep
saying?
Hydrated. You're one of those people who tell everybody just to get clear skin. Just keep hydrated. Get some rest. Hey, meantime, you're out here pumping iron, taking all the products that you can. Hey. I saw recently a story about Kanye Bao again, about this whole bleaching thing that has taken over our country.
I don't know why people are so hyped up about it. I understand why. Because she's like a public figure. I don't know why still. But anyway.
No, it's because it's a really serious thing. Like, you actually get an IV drip. It's like a drip that you get into your system. And this changes the antioxidants in your skin or whatever the case may be.
And evidently changes your pigmentation.
Yeah, and eventually. So some people who can't afford the actual drip or the actual professional medication, they get it from markets in the township or whatever the case may be. And that causes damages to their skin. You see those people with
patchy skin.
Where one part of your cheek is just boost black, and then the other side you're a yellow bone for days.
You know, black people looking like Harvey Dent from the, you know, Dark Knight Returns. All I'm saying is it's Kanye Bao's life. Let her do whatever the fuck she wants to do. Why are we so all up in her grill, like as if what she does with her life matters and contributes to our existence?
Yeah, true. Live your life. I believe that completely. But yeah, today in the studio we are not alone. We are joined by a prolific rapper, Mr. J Arrow, say what's up. Talk to the people there, Derek.
What's good,
man? Hey. You well?
I'm fresh, man. How are you guys?
We blessed. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We're just going to talk a little bit about your music and what you've been getting up to in the world. First, tell me how you feeling, dog.
I'm good, actually, good? Right now. No, this place was kind of intimidating, but nah.
It's dope. Like, it's a great vibe. You've got some water. You're chilling.
Yeah.
The sun is out. No, you're easy with us. You know, the worst guys, we keep it honest. We keep it real. So we're hoping the same from you.
Man,
I mean,
it's the first show of this kind, so let's get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I believe as an artist, you know, the truth is the only thing that you actually stand for. Tell me a little bit about yourself, J. Arrow. What is the first thing people need to know? Your elevator pitch.
Man, first, J. Arrow is the king of R&B, the new king of R&B.
The new king of R&B. Is that who you are?
Man, I'm an R&B artist. First and foremost, you know, I sing.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm pretty different from, you know, majority of the what the industry consists of right now.
Okay.
Especially right now within the R&B genre, there's not many people doing it as well.
There really isn't.
Many people are branching out to Afropop, you know, just to stay safe, you know, but I'm just, you know, doing my thing on the side, so
staying in your own lane,
but but I think South Africa does need a good injection of R&B in it. It really has been lacking. I can't even mention who are the R&B guys.
Hey, we have to take it back to, you know, your boy
Danny K. You bring something fresh, something that we've been missing for a long time.
Yes,
and I genuinely believe that a lot of music genres are coming back into South African entertainment, because we lost them along the way with the growth of hip hop and the globalization of music, essentially. But now we're kind of going back to what we can do, what we dope at, what we like to do. And I personally, I'm a singer as well. I like to think so. So it's nice for me to actually have a conversation with somebody who sings, because we generally have rappers in the studio. That's really dope. Tell me about your project that you've got going on. I spoke to your manager. You're doing some music video shoots
Tell us a little bit about that. We just came from some young shots, you know, continuing more. Have to fly back to Durban. For more of those shots. But we got more coming, especially in terms of May, because we want to do more performances as well. Music videos are probably also going to drop like early June from that time. So yeah, I'm more of a perfectionist, so I don't really want to do what everybody else is doing.
You seem like you got a lot of content in the way for us, bro.
man, that's true. Have you been looking up the boy?
I hear you're making waves in the national sphere.
We trying, man. I've been privileged, because I mean, last year though, I never thought, you know, I'll be in this position right now. Like, doors are opening like crazy, especially for an R&B artist, so I'm very excited, especially without doing it with idols and, you know, with the major label. You know, we were able to get like a young distribution deal overseas as well, hence that's why we're able to get, you know, the young 1 million to 2 million views, etc. You know,
so since you bring it up, let's talk about idols and a competition like that. What do you think there's any value in doing something like that as an artist?
I mean, don't get me wrong though, I mean, like, the people, they are very talented, you know. I just feel like, you know, after you win idols, I don't know if something happens behind the scenes where they're trying to put you in a certain box, you know. Yeah, sometimes, you know, your time is limited, you know. You don't necessarily express yourself creatively would want.
Because it's basically doing other people's music, man, while you're there.
Like, for me, like, R&B is all the same in South Africa, and we really need something different. So
I'm glad to hear that. Like I'm getting the idea that you're not a ghostwriter kind of guy.
Nah. Not okay. at all.
Just making sure, you know. I don't need people bringing in Drake's diseases.
Yeah,
Africa.
Drake's diseases. You talk about the ghostwriting saga.
Yeah, it's actually a disease. If you want to be real with it, because like you don't even know how far that disease has spread out into all of his albums. You know, it wasn't Take Care. He's got some of that disease on, you know, Best I Ever Had and shit like that.
Mm. We don't know what of Drake's is real, which is really, really, really unfortunate.
You know.
But yeah, I'm glad to know that there are real artists out there. My biggest problem with idols is not. I don't have a problem with it necessarily. Is that people don't understand that on idols is the star of the show.
Yeah,
it's not about you.
Preach.
Because after you, they'll have another idol next year. Yeah. The show's going to be exactly the same, and they're going to kill with the viewership again.
Yeah.
So it's not about the artist. That's my primary problem with competitions like that. But if you do understand your own voice, understand your own material, and have it first and foremost in your hand, then you can do whatever you like with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just want to get to playing some of your music so some people can feel your vibe. Okay, so this is the track called YMH, right? So this is the smash hit that is doing the rounds. You've broken the internet by reaching 2 million streams. 2 million streams. So yeah, actually let's just have a listen and see what is going on here. What is causing the hype? That is J Arrow. This is YMH by the homie.
Hey, listen to that anticlimax. Just taking
that,
it down.
That resolution, dog. That resolution. Wow. That's J Arrow with Let Me Love You. No, YMH. YMH. I'm getting the chorus stuck in my head. You know why? It's because it's it makes me feel like it's winter time.
Oh.
You know, it's getting cold out there.
Yeah.
Everybody need a bae right now.
You got a polar neck on, you know.
Yeah. That's exactly where it takes me. And we're actually just thinking, because this is a love ballad. This is a love song at the end of the day.
It's ballad. That's a classic word.
What does YMH stand for?
YMH is an acronym for You, Me, and Hennessy.
Aight.
You can let the imagination take over.
This is a love making track. And that's what I was talking about in South African music in particular. Well, for me, the greatest albums, the greatest music is the music that you can make love to.
The
music that you can do that boom, boom, boom with. If you can't do that, your music is useless.
I was telling him at the same time that there are niggas in the hood that are making love to
I don't even imagine that though. Like, woo!
And these women are going back and be like, yo, yes.
Hey.
Oh, Mbesu, my last night, I'm sailing a shasha. I'm sailing.
Yes, good, good.
I'm a paga dying, getting in a shasha.
So it's winter time. It's winter time, and I'm genuinely starting to think about a bay life, you know, because you have to consider these things. Although it's probably a very stressful life having a bay, but if I can jam along to YMH's, J Arrow's YMH, I mean, why not?
He's the kind of artist that is hot during the winter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't need no heaters or electric blankets, yo.
Then when the summertime comes out, he's talking about how these chicks are all unfaithful. My man.
Yo.
So tell me, how's the reception been? Let's talk about your people and your following. You said you've grown and you've come into contact with some great people. You're an artist doing it on your own without the support of idols. So tell me a little bit about that experience.
Man, to be honest, after releasing many songs, you know, previously, before YMH, you know, it's been nice, it's been moderate, you know, also increasing on the side. But I mean, like, after YMH, I think this distribution also helped as well, you know. But I think also, as you said, like, you know, that intimate touch with the people, I think it really resonated with them. Because I mean, my hometown, I walk by, the cars are driving by, the song's playing, you know.
Oh,
what I'm saying?
Shit,
I'm here.
Where's your hometown?
Yeah, it's in DBA, man.
Oh,
DBA,
okay,
exactly.
Dope. So you're really from Durban. That's
most
so
def,
sick, man.
Def,
you see, because I've always thought, you know, the best part of being a musician must be when you're at a random place. Maybe you go to the store and somebody is either playing buying your music in the store or singing along to it and they jamming in their earphones.
Most deaf,
it must be a great feeling to go home and just to have a random car pass by and play your music.
Man.
I mean, it's not like it's queued. Like, okay, quarter past, you must come to Shell Garage, play track number three.
So yeah, it really has helped, you know, as well considerably with the following.
Yeah.
You know, I think we like over 100,000 now in terms of collectively.
Oh, okay.
You know, adding with my Twitter and my Instagram, you know, it's the greasy.
Dope.
I'm excited about that, man. I just can't wait to perform though. Now, you know?
Yeah. So tell me about your performances. You know, what do you want to do this shit?
Listen, bro. You said this show, we can say anything we want. You know
for
what I'm
sure,
saying?
Exactly.
Sure. Yo, R&B needs a revamp as well in terms of performances, man.
Yeah.
I think when you think hip-hop, you think exciting. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You think people jump on the stage. You think of, you know, things exploding, lights going crazy, you know, the entertainment aspect of that. You know, that's what makes, you know, hip-hop captivating as much as the song is also captivating. R&B as well, of course, depending on the type of song and the feel of the song, also needs that entertainment aspect. And I think... what's really been underrated is the actual performance aspect, you know, like people like what Michael Jackson also brought, you know,
the dance element as well.
The dance element and usually
do you bring that though?
Hell yeah, boy.
That's all around.
So let's talk a little bit about choreography in R&B. I mean, Usher have been taking his shirt off in music videos.
<It's>
so now let's talk about this a little bit in terms of, you know, the stage performance that has been lacking in artists in South Africa of the past.
Most def.
What can we put in there that has not been there in particular? What do you see? What are you putting in that has been missing this entire time?
Man, first of all, I'm really going to take advantage of that. You know, I'm young. You know, I resonate with the similar demographic as well. You know, right now, you know, I can appeal to the varsity students. I can also appeal to, you know, the late high school students as well, you know. Surprisingly enough, you know, some old people as well have been liking YMH, you know.
Oh, really?
It's the blessers.
they've got to keep up with the trends.
Yeah, baby, let me love you, man. Let me love you, YMH, man.
Hey, so yeah, but I just wanna use that to my advantage. That right now, I think performance wise, you could probably familiarize me with Chris Brown, you know, with like Michael Jackson, that energy. Exactly. Probably when I'm, you know, grown up, getting to the whole smooth aspect like Usher, you know what I'm saying? But like, just keep the fans, you know, captivated, make it exciting, you know, expect the unexpected, the performance realm overall, you know, like the stages as well, like in terms of, let's say, your summer awards, you know, I don't want to be coming out like, you know, just walking on stage, doing whatever. I want to surprise who knows, fly on stage, you know, pop up, that entertainment type aspect, you know what I'm saying?
And that's what I genuinely believe will save the music industry, because I feel like we don't have many artists who perform like it's the last time they're ever going to perform.
Exactly.
And a stage is a magical thing. It's a magical place. Dude. You literally have all the freedom to be anything.
Most definitely.
This is your time to be anything. We'll allow it. You can say what you want. You can do what you want. Take off your shirt. Get naked. If you really, really want to, you can do that. You could be Michael Jackson.
Exactly.
You know, so I really appreciate hearing from somebody who understands what a stage is and what it could do for you, your career. Every time you go on stage, it's the last time. The last time. That's what I want people to get out of this conversation. No, that's really, really dope. We're just going to talk about a few stories just to touch on what we have been finding interesting over the last week. Yeah, we just tend to do this every now and again. Comment on what's happening in and around our world. You tell us a little bit about what you think. What's up, you know?
Fresh.
Oh, yeah, we're... Cool. Walkies. Let's do it this way.
Grab young fella and extra, extra. Read all about it. Life story of Playboy Penny. Extra, extra. Extra, extra. Read all about it. Me and that Playboy.
All right. So the first story that I want to talk about is about the nuclear deal. In a major reversal for Eskom's nuclear plans, the Western Cape High Court has set aside the determination signed by former Minister Tina Joemat-Pettersson in December last year, which lays the basis for the nuclear procurement. So essentially, the nuclear deal has been set aside as unconstitutional. So it won't be going through, which is really, really great news for us. You know, South Africa and Russia have been trying to plan some dodgy dealings here. Yeah. And that's done with now. The only thing that I take from this is the Western Cape High Court. Man, the Western Cape High Court is on a roll. Yeah. They're producing all the judgments that we want to hear, South Africans. In the Western Cape High Court, that's where they came with the legalization of marijuana in our homes. You know, so shout out. We actually need to find out who's the High Court judge there and see what's going behind all these rulings, man. Because he must have like a teenage son. You know, a woke millennial.
Hey man,
who's
I don't know
on
about
Twitter.
You, but I really think those nukes could come in handy, you know what I'm saying? Like, our National Defense Force, I don't want to lie, man. Yeah.
If anything's going to save us, it's going to be the nukes.
Yeah, yeah. If Trump just says, all right, everybody, war, we're fucked, you know?
Yeah. No. I genuinely do believe you, but I don't know about somebody like Zuma handling nuclear weapons. In fact, anybody handling nuclear weapons, we've got Zuma, we've got Donald Trump on the other side. Guys,
man, you heard him saying Mshiniwami before you even came on board.
Hey, dog, exactly. Already. He's been planning this situation. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then also earlier this week, the Huffington Post editor-in-chief resigned. This was from a post that she made about white people in South Africa paying back the debt that they owe to society from colonialism, from the effects of apartheid and cheap labor, forced African cheap labor, essentially saying that white people shouldn't be part of the discussion for 20 to 30 years.
Yeah. So she's taking such a bold stand.
Yeah. It is really bold. It is really brave. And I've been thinking about it a lot since it took place because, I mean, the idea here is that if you do something wrong, you need to repent. That's the only way to move forward. You admit to your wrongdoings and you suffer the consequences of your wrongdoings. And then we move forward. And South Africa needs a plan to move forward. That's my only concern, is because we're stuck in this rut of anger and we need to move forward. So here she comes with a plan, which I don't think is terrible. In my honest opinion. Because, I mean,
who was she replaced
is
by?
Is 20 to 30 years too long? I'm not too sure. Is 20 to 30 years really, really that long? You know, for white people to just take a back seat, bruh. Just be like, I know we're going to suffer a little bit. Let's learn how it is to be black. Just a little bit. Eh? Is it too much? What do you think, Jay?
Man, I think what you just said right now, the reconciliation is really like a big thing that we need to take into consideration. Man, let's be honest, man, we all need each other. We can't be like, you know, all just hating on each other. And of course, I mean, there has to be consequences for your actions.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think
reversing the roles doesn't necessarily always work out in his favor.
Yeah.
For example, here's a plain example. A farmer giving one of his black workers the farm. Yeah, here you go. Take it. It's fine. Yeah. That guy doesn't know how to fucking farm.
He needs to teach him first.
He needs to teach him first. You need to give him the resources. You need to give him the knowledge. You need to give him everything that he needs to have to be able to be equipped enough to handle that farm.
Yeah.
So just handing shit over won't necessarily work.
Yeah. All right. So let me read the article just so we have some clarity. I have it here. Okay. So this is it. Some of the biggest blows to progressive cause in the past year have often been due to the votes of white men. If white men were allowed to vote, it is unlikely that the United Kingdom would be leaving the European Union. It is unlikely that Donald Trump would now be president of the United States. And it's unlikely that the Democratic Alliance would be governing four of South Africa's biggest cities. If white men no longer had the vote, the progressive cause would be strengthened. It would not be necessary to deny white men indefinitely. The denial of the vote to the white men for 20 years, just less than a generation, would go some way to seeing a decline in the influence of reactionary and neoliberal ideology in the world. The influence of reckless white males were one of the primary reasons that led to the Great Recession, which began in 2008. This would also strike a blow against toxic white masculinity, one thing that is long needed. At the same time, a denial of the franchise to white men could see a redistribution of global assets to their rightful owners. After all, white men have used the imposition of Western legal systems around the world to reinforce modern capitalism. A period of 20 years without white men in the world's parliaments and voting booths will allow legislation to be passed which could see the world's wealth far more equitably shared. The violence of white male wealth and income inequality will be a thing of the past.
So they say.
So they say. Okay, last thing. This redistribution of the world's wealth is long overdue. Over the past 500 years, colonialism, slavery, and various aggressive wars and genocide have been due to the actions of white men. Redistributing some of their assets will go some way to paying the historical debt that they owe society. It is no surprise that liberalism and its ideological offshoots of conservatism and libertarianism are the most popular ideologies among white males. These ideologies, with their focus on individuals and individual responsibility rather than group affiliation, allow white males to ignore the debt that they owe society. And from acknowledging that most of their assets, wealth, privileges are the result of theft and violence. Some may argue that this is unfair. Let it be clear, it may be unfair, but a moratorium on the franchise of white males for a period of between 20 and 30 years is a small price to pay for the pain inflicted by white males on others, particularly those with black female identifying bodies. Yo, this woman is so real. Virashni Pillai, she's resigned as Huffington Post. But yeah, they're coming with fake news, all the stories. Yeah, that's, I don't know. It's something to think about in terms of readdressing the issues of the past. But I don't think it's the, oh, this is a toughie. I don't even know how to think about this one. Let's leave that one in the air for now, because it's a bit hectic. But I don't think she deserved to lose her job. Because then we call out Bohelen Zilla, and then what happens? We keep quiet. Although she is gay, she is getting murked by the DA now. They're calling her out for her tweets out there. But yeah, that's the stories that have been taking place over this last week that we've been interested in. I don't know if there's anything much else to talk about. Really no. But yeah, J Arrow,
let's go.
I wanted to find out from you a little bit about what you see going on in the future, because we're running out of time, as we always do here. The time goes way too quickly.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about what your near goals are, your future plans are, the next year or two. Where do you see yourself?
Most def. I mean, my near goals is that I really need to release this music video now, but the people have been on my case. So like, but yeah, it's probably gonna come out early June as well.
And this is for YMH.
For YMH, yes. I got many songs as well that I'm gonna probably release, probably after we've pushed, you know, the music video well as well. So as the homie said himself, you know, after the winter season, you know, you could expect a young summer something.
Yeah, he's always on the way.
But I mean, in the long future, man, I really hope to win an award, you know. I don't know about this whole Metro FM saga or whatever.
Yeah, and the SAFM Awards, apparently Nasty C's two latest videos got snubbed.
So there's
a lot of drama in the music industry.
It is.
Have you experienced any of this drama personally?
Well, I can't really say that.
You don't have to call people out, but you have experienced it.
I have. But like, most definitely, I just want to be, you know, a pioneer for R&B. I mean, R&B is a dead genre that really needs to be revived again, you know.
Yeah.
We don't even have a category in these award shows, like a best male R&B, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we really need to do that, and I just really want to push, you know.
And I think it's a dead genre across the globe, really.
I don't want to call it a dead genre. I want to call it a sleeping beauty, because it was once alive.
Yeah.
Somebody put it to bed.
Yeah.
Just gotta wake
Do you know what happened? The Weeknd came with House of Balloons, and then Urban Contemporary started. Because there's a difference between R&B and Urban Contemporary.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I heard a little bit of the Urban Contemporary elements in music when I'm talking about the electric guitar, the music. Who's the driving force behind the music and where it goes outside of the vocals?
Are you talking about like inspirations or?
No, I'm talking about actually in the studio. Are you playing any instruments?
Yes,
are you
yes.
who do you sing with, who do you make music with, essentially? Because it's never a one-man show.
It's never instrumentally, I did like the producing and everything.
Vocally, cool.
The writing, I did all of that, you know. Then there was my homie who helped me with the whole mixing and mastering. Shout out to DJ Fat Pro.
So, DJ Fat Pro.
So like I do everything myself, you know. I think many labels have also like tried coming, saying, putting me on board as well, you know. And it's not, I'm not acting all arrogant or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just that there's a certain package that they're trying to put me in. And at the end of the day, longevity wise and sustainably, it's not going to actually be part of my vision, you know.
Yeah.
And I really want to be something different. So it's very important that the sound actually resonates with who I am. And basically, as you see, as you're going to see J. Arrow visually as well, you're going to understand it even more. And I'm not blocking out any future deals that are coming, but as long as if they understand, and they will understand after they've seen who actually, who J. Arrow is, I think they'll bring up a better picture.
On your, because you said you have a distribution deal overseas, right?
Yeah.
Who's that with, by the way, just if I may ask?
Man, I don't think it could, I could actually disclose that right now.
No problem. Yeah. That's how you feel? That's you?
Yeah.
That's you. But anyway.
Most days, but I can give you a hint though. Scooter Braun is associated with them as well. Scooter Braun, that's Justin Bieber's manager.
Yeah.
As well.
All right.
Yeah, let me just
flourishing.
Keep it there right now.
Like your total reach so far, is it the majority of it local or international?
Oh, I like that question, man. It's been worldwide, man. Yo, we playing in Sweden, Japan, Ukraine, USA. Yo, BBC One Extra in London.
Jet setting, bro.
Man, and then also here in South Africa. I think mostly they worldwide fans.
Yeah.
And J. Arrow, as much as R&B, needs a local presence.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we're really trying to, you know, focus on as well. Not just to go visit, lay overseas and then at home, you know, it's just quiet as well. Exactly. So we're really trying to do that as well, so.
Dope, man. Dope. Yeah. This guy is Jason and pimping all over the world. Yeah. That's what happens in this generation. The internet gives you access to the entire world.
All I'm saying is, like, if I go overseas, you know, I'm just like, yo, how you doing, honey?
Yeah.
I know J. Arrow.
Do you want to shoot me with your bow and arrow, J. Arrow? Yeah.
What's the groupies like overseas, just by the way, compared to the local ones?
Oh, man. Yo, Japan, Moscow, shout out.
Those guys are fun, man.
Those Russian women are hurting.
They don't play no games.
So do you find that you have any groupies? Because I don't know many artists with real groupies in South Africa. Do they quiet here? Do you find that our audiences are relatively conservative?
They are.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, just lighten up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It ain't nothing wrong. Lighten up. And
nothing's that serious.
Most deaf. I think also like the whole superstar effect here in South Africa is not necessarily as big as overseas, you know. I think I don't know what really contributes to that, but I think as well there also has to be that element where, you know, you are special to the fans or whatever the case may be. So they are conservative, but
I think that's an artist problem.
Yeah.
In terms of artists themselves not realizing that they are special.
Exactly.
You are sending a message. You are doing something out of the ordinary.
Most definitely.
That's
most
why definitely. I say locally they are celebrated personalities. Overseas they are celebrities.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
There's a fine line.
Most definitely.
All right, so we like to do it big, man. And we're glad to have J. Arrow in the studio here.
Yeah.
So just before we go, just plug yourself. Tell us where we can catch you in the future in terms of performances as well as your social media.
Yo, just catch me on at J. Arrow Live. I'm mostly active on Twitter and Instagram at J. Arrow Live. You can also like me on Facebook as well. Yo, performance is also coming up. I'm probably going to announce that more on social media. So yeah, just stay tuned to that.
Dope. All right, man. It's been such a pleasure hanging out with you.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
Cool. What we usually do at the end of each of our shows is rap out with the worst guy's cipher.
He needs to hook us up with the
hook. if you want to just drop in a hook there, okay. Just listen to it. See how it goes, because we don't even know how it's gonna go.
Okay,
to be honest,
cool.
We're gonna freestyle. You don't have to join. There's no pressure on you.
Okay, fresh.
But this is what we do.
Aight,
and it's dope when our guests do join, because it makes it something that
fresh.
Only the guest was there for.
Aight,
you know? But yeah, just before we do that, I just gotta tell everybody that I am performing at the Goliath Comedy Club tonight. There's a 30 in 5 over there. That's insane rapid fire comedy. This is 30 of the greatest South African comedians doing 5 minutes each. You really won't get a better scope and understanding of how great
South African comedy is than coming to a show like this one. And tomorrow's a public holiday, so you get to chill out. Yeah. Chill your guava. Relax. Come laugh with the boychies. That's at the Goliath Comedy Club tonight at 8 p.m. You have anything else?
Hey, bro, it's the same old thing. I'm still prepping.
Prepping for that big day on stage.
Dog.
All right. No, but we know you're going to give us the goal. We know you're going to give us the goal. But yeah, before anything, guys, look after yourselves. Make sure you are planning on being great, because that's the only thing that will stop you is yourself. Yeah. And we're about to wrap up with the worst, guys. Cypher, yo. Yeah. All right. I like this beat a lot, because you can do a lot with it. You know what I'm saying? Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, I'm about to jump on the beat. Hey, let me warm up the beat for ya. Hey, let me warm up the beat for ya. Here I go. Hey, to my right is sitting J Arrow. He telling me that overseas he likes the hoes, from Moscow to Japan, where he lands and he understands that they really see him as another man. And he's looking at the fans and he's like, damn, I wanna get you back to my hotel room and bring out the doom and show you what I do as I pursue you. Hey, sexy ladies, bringing R&B back, so you better jump on that thing and tweet him back. When he tweets the dates of the show, you better fucking go to comp your ticket and book yourself in the front row.
In the front row, I mean, you should go get his CD at the store, cause I mean, everybody wanna support local art, but you tweeting about it, you might as well fart, cause you talking shit. Go be a real supporter, yo, come to a show and pay that big dough, yo, cause we doing the big stuff, we doing the big things, and all of us are getting the big rings. No Carlo Anthony, because I'm not fucking Lala, cheating on this bitch like he is a fucking dada, a baba, a baby, take care of your lady. Don't think about the people on the stage, cause I mean, we rage all the time, we busting wine, drinking late at night, smoking all the wine. I mean, I'm thinking so sublime, I'm gonna do this rhyme, but then here comes the era, yo.
Baby, have you ever heard a single rap? I'm talking about Cliff Central and Rover's backs. Now we moving, look, I don't know how to do this freestyle thing, baby, but I'm moving, level my thing. Booby, so we rock. Woo! Funny, for we fly. Skirt. We flying worldwide. Later, do it, doggy styles. Booby, sunny, for we da. Cliff Central, baby, yeah, yeah.
We out! It's the worst guy, Cypher.
Let go!
We've been hanging with J Arrow.
Wake up!
We'll see you next week, Wednesday, yo.
Sir.
Have a good day. CliffCentral.com.